You can bow or wave, but you can't shake hands at this year's Singapore Air Show. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Airbus today unveiled a more aerodynamic plane design that slashes carbon emissions, and Mitsubishi took the wraps off a new regional jet. But those announcements have been overshadowed by fears about the potential spread of coronavirus, which has kept Singapore air show attendance at bay. The BBC's Monica Miller has more.
Normally, there are thousands and thousands of participants, countries from all over the world. And this year, roughly 70 exhibitors are no longer participating. Now, that organizers say is less than 8% of the people who did show up for this event. But there's some huge names on that list, including Lockheed Martin, which is the world's largest defense contractor. The Pentagon's chief weapons buyer decided not to come. Also, COMAC, which is a Chinese company that's trying to rival Airbus and Boeing. They weren't allowed into the country because of a ban on people from the mainland over this coronavirus.
Are people being more cautious about how they're interacting with each other?
There is a no-contact policy. You can just see in the drop in attendance that a lot of people simply weren't going to take the risk.
Monica, if so many people and companies have canceled, why has the show gone ahead?
We asked the organizers that, and they said they were confident that they could contain this virus at this event. They did their own risk assessment, and they said that there are still hundreds, if not thousands, of people that are showing up here. I have to say, I mean, they're incredibly vigilant. My team and I arrived very early this morning. We had our temperature taken. We had our car searched three times. So before you even get in here, they very much know who you are, know what health status you're at, and they're taking this very seriously.
Wow. Keep those hands washed and clean. The BBC's Monica Miller at the Singapore Air Show. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Well, the World Health Organization is starting a two-day meeting today to try and speed up the global response to coronavirus, which has now killed more than 1,000 people. Despite warnings economic damage from the outbreak could be worse than expected, global stock markets are higher today. Hong Kong's Hang Seng rose 1.2%. The Shanghai Composite gained 0.3%. European shares are also rising. London's FTSE 100 is up 0.7%. That's despite data showing the UK economy didn't grow at all in the fourth quarter. Well, something else that stopped growing last year, global energy-related carbon emissions. That's according to the International Energy Agency. The BBC's Benji Guy reports.
After 2 years of growth, global energy emissions were unchanged at 33 gigatons in 2019, even as the world economy expanded by 2.9%. This was mainly due to declining emissions from electricity generation in developed economies, thanks to the expanding role of renewable sources, fuel switching from coal to natural gas, and higher nuclear power generation. Other factors included milder weather in several countries and slower economic growth in some emerging markets. Emissions outside developed countries are still rising rapidly, however, threatening the reductions. Almost 80% of the 400 million ton increase in emissions in 2019 came from rapidly developing countries in Asia, where cheap coal has continued to gain use as a fuel source in the power sector. In London, I'm the BBC's Benji Guy for Marketplace.
We've all been caught in an awkward tipping situation. When I first moved to the UK, I left a couple pounds at the bar after ordering a few pints for my group. The awkwardness that ensued was enough to make me learn local tipping culture right then and there, and I've never done it again. Some see tipping as a Western practice slowly creeping around the world. In Shanghai, people aren't sure whether to love it or hate it. The BBC's Greya Jackson explains why.
Before the 1950s, there was this really big income gap between people who worked in government and people who worked in the industry sector. So tipping was really common. In the 1950s, you had a change in governance and lots of things became state-run, including the restaurant business. And within that time, wages kind of equalised. So a government worker would be paid something similar to someone who worked as a server. And so you kind of lost the impetus for tipping. But then by the late 1970s, China opened up to the West. And with it, there became lots of high-end restaurants and bars that's opened. And within those establishments, you do see tipping. What's interesting is that tipping has kind of stayed in those high-end places.
You talked to one business owner who's trying to even out the opinions, right?
Yeah, she's trying her best. She wants it to be a marker of respect for people who are doing a really hard job. But it's quite interesting because culturally, China isn't there. And so people feel a bit odd about this tipping idea. And that was something that really became clear when I spoke to Atina, who runs a restaurant in Shanghai.
Some people think because Chinese people are a little bit shy, so when you try to tip them, they like to rejecting you first, even they actually happy that you're tipping them. So sometimes people do get confused, should I tip or not? Here I'm trying to encourage our customer.
So that's restaurant owner Atina there in Shanghai. Now, she's one of the businesses obviously trying to break down these tipping barriers. How's it working? Are people receptive to it?
I think people don't know where they stand. We actually spoke to some of the customers and the sentiment was, yes, tip, why not? I have the money to. This doesn't mean anything to me, a few bucks. However, to the server, it means a lot. So people are quite receptive to it, but I still think Atina ends up running after them and saying, hey, this is a restaurant where we're trying to introduce tipping. Could you please tip? And here's why. So there's still a bit of a cultural gap between tipping and not tipping.
The BBC's Greya Jackson, host of The Food Chain. Thank you.
Thank you.
I know I'm not the only one with an awkward tipping story. Share yours with us at the hashtag BBC Marketplace. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.